Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Spring is around the corner and racing will be here before you know it. Go to greatlakesdragway.com to order your season passes, discounted tickets, or to inquire about a track rental.
Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane on the Wendy's Big Show. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Badger and Packer running back, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tao Jin with you. Till 6 o'clock on your ride home, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. That's the way you call us, get aboard, hop on with us, have some conversation. That's what this segment is all about for the next hour as we reset the top questions, segments, topics that we did today on the Big Show and give you the final say on them in Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane. We started out the show today, Sparky, talking about the Green Bay Packers coaching staff search, and we know that Nathaniel Hackett, now the offensive coordinator for Matt LaFleur, Mike Pettine will be retained as the defensive coordinator. But are you getting nervous at how long this is taking for the Packers to fill out their staff?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just seems like it is going at a snail's pace as far as the interviews and everything else. You're letting people go on the offense and defensive sides of the football. It's taking forever to find somebody. Now you bring in a guy from a Jacksonville team that, again, outside looking in, sucked last year. And their quarterback sucked on top of it in Blake Bortles. But if you go inside a little bit and start listening to some of the people that have worked with this dude, like Tyrone Wheatley, who've coached with him and stuff, they have just nothing but glowing things to say about this dude. And the other thing that you hear about Nathaniel Hackett is he tends to be a rah-rah in-your-face guy, kind of loud, Gary. And that's not who LaFleur is either. So
you know, you got to bounce out your coaching staff that way, you know, obviously.
Gary? A rah-rah offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Can you name me another one?
We mean, no, but I think that's how you balance it out. I think all that stuff balances it out. You got a little bit of everything. And I don't know if he'll be rah-rah. I mean, it all depends on your team and what you got. And I think coaches learn to adjust to their teams and what they got. I mean, if you got a veteran team, obviously you're not going to be rah-rah. If you got a veteran offense, in any case, if you got a veteran offense, probably not going to be rah-rah. Probably not going to be.
Imagine training camp. Pettin's yelling at the defense. He's over on the offensive side yelling at his offensive
players.
It's going
to be amazing.
That offensive line coach.
I would tell you this. Woo. In training camp, good. Yep. You need that in training camp.
That's probably going to happen, I think.
Because in training camp is just so repetitive and so boring. You do need to got a lot of fire on your ass and kind of get you going.
Get you going, right.
Camp. So now that could wear out, though, over a period of time if it's not done right.
Especially if it's during the season.
Yeah.
Week in and week out.
16 games is long.
In that sense, like, so they try to come in and set the tone. They're going to come in and set the tone mini camp.
Yeah.
How do the veterans like an Aaron Rodgers, Mike Daniels, and Kenny Clark's, all those guys respond to that first talk? Because we heard, at least that was one thing that Dan Orlovsky said when they were talking to him on the Michaels show about LaFleur, is that he's going to coach Aaron hard. He's going to get into his face, he's going to get into him.
Right.
And there can be some resistance early on from older players in that sense.
Well, I mean, I don't know get into him, but I think that could be misconstrued, but I think it could be more like firm. No, this is not how we want to do it. We want to do it this way. No, we can't be doing that. And then I think Rodgers then will understand. I mean, this Rodgers LaFleur marriage is I'm interested in seeing how that works.
I think quarterback coach is a big hire here, folks.
Yep.
I think it's a big hire.
Well, because if he's in his butt, you got to have a buffer.
Correct. The offensive coordinator is in his butt. Right.
Yeah.
That's a big hire. And then the offensive line coach, I think, is a big hire, too. You let Cabot go to Cleveland Browns, which, okay, fine, no big deal. So now who do you hire? The Colts stupidly fired their offensive line coach because Reich didn't hire him. McDaniel did when he was going to be the coach from New England. So Reich wants his own guy now. Maybe those two guys didn't get along, whatever.
Right,
but you can't argue with what the dude did with that offensive line. They were number one offensive pass blocking offensive line in the league. Luck was the least amount sack quarterback in the league, and you just fired that guy.
Right.
Whoever comes in after this guy, probably they're going to go backwards and people are going to lose their minds.
Yep.
So love to see the Packers get this guy.
Right.
Fast forward to later this afternoon during the big show, the Bengals, according to Jim Ozarski, his friends down in Cincinnati, they're getting rid of Frank Pollock, their offensive line coach. Now, he's an older dude. So he's now available. He was with LaFleur in Houston. They were together. So maybe Pollock becomes the offensive line coach
for the
Green Bay Packers.
I don't mind my offensive line coach being an older dude.
I don't either.
I would agree with that. Yep.
Because I just want the best guy.
Well, it's about all these young guys. I'm just saying because it's the new wave with the 39-year-old guys, right? I don't mind if my O-line coach is a gray-haired older dude.
Like a Bob Wiley?
Those guys are seasoned. I mean, they understand. They get the game. And they just have more. I just think it's tough. Well, just me. If you go and hire a 39-year-old offensive line coach in the NFL.
Unless it's like a Joe Thomas.
Unless it's a dude that was a freak. Been there, done that, did that. Who's been in. But you go and try to hire, I don't know if that works.
Do you think that Greg Gard is working at Wisconsin as the head basketball coach?
Yeah, I do. I think he's working very well. I mean, I think you've got to know what you're dealing with. I got to know who you're recruiting. It's tough recruiting at Wisconsin, man. That ain't an easy job to recruit to. Get players. I mean, you're probably looking to get one guy every 4 years. One guy that's one NBA guy every 4 years. That's what you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And that one guy maybe can get you to a Big Ten championship game and everything else kind of just flows right. They start hitting some shots, you know. That's really what you're looking at. I mean, the Badgers are who they are. Same old Badgers. I mean, they've always have been. You know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when I said the same old Badgers, people used to get all over me about that. Steve used to read all the things.
Yep.
Gary doesn't like his school. Gary doesn't blah, blah, blah. And it's proven out. It's proven out. I told these people, same old Badgers. They didn't understand what the Badger philosophy, and it's really kind of always been that way. The same old Badgers didn't just come about with Barry Alvarez. It was the same old Badgers in 1981 when I was there. They have a way of doing things. And that way of doing things is about who are they going to let in their school. And it's kind of always been that way.
Sparky, you getting nervous with Greg Gard as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers?
My thing is if you fire Greg Gard, will the next guy be able to come in and recruit at a different pace or recruit a different way? Because if what he's doing is the best that anybody's going to do in this position, then it doesn't make any sense to fire anybody if it's just going to be same old, same old. Now, said earlier, I'd love to see Dwayne Stevens come in here from Michigan State, the assistant to Tom Izzo that was at Marquette with Tom Crean. I'd love to see him come in here and be the head coach of Marquette and see what happens. I'd be all about that. Now, again, as we talked about earlier, you know, it's different when Wojo's recruiting for Krzyzewski. It's different when Gar's recruiting for Bo Ryan. When you had to recruit for yourself, it's different than recruiting for Izzo. So how that all would play out, I don't know. But I'd be awfully interested in seeing how it would play out. But like Gary brought up earlier, you know, that guy that you might be able to get in Michigan State for basketball, you probably won't be able to get in that same guy at Wisconsin for basketball. So that all comes back down to academics and being able to get certain players in.
And Wisconsin takes on Michigan, the number two ranked team in the country. They're going to be number one after Duke falls last night, 95-91, to the Syracuse Orange, upset in overtime. Marquette, 15th in the country. That's their highest ranking under Steve Wojciechowski. They take on Georgetown tonight on FS1. During the we really never got to the conversation that we were going to have at 4 o'clock. So we're going to save that one for tomorrow, because I think it's going to be one of those conversations that you talk about, get off my lawn conversations where you're yelling at the young kids. And sometimes I think you just need some fatherly advice. Sometimes you just need some help. Like, where are you going to go buy a car?
Well, my good friend's over at Hyundai West Dallas.
Where's that at?
Part of International Auto Group on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue.
Oh, in West Dallas. I know exactly where that is.
West Dallas. These guys are incredible. They own the whole street, cuz. You turn down Arthur Avenue, they own the whole damn street from the corner all the way down.
He's not even joking. Serious.
Yeah.
I thought that's what they used to say about, you know, the football team at Madison, wherever you guys were living at.
Well, we put our turf shoes on.
Where'd you live at in Madison? Mifflin Street?
No, I stayed away from Mifflin Street, cuz.
It's because smart plan.
You mess around, you got to go, you do your analysis, and you
get
can't
some
pass
real
it.
Problems there.
Real problems on Mifflin Street. But my good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas on Arthur Avenue, it's not Mifflin Street, but it's the street that they own. And they're looking to make deals right now today to put you in a car that you can drive home nice and safe in, and really with the best price possible. And you're going to get the best price possible over at Hyundai West. So go check my good friend out, Dan Richards. That's his name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Richards is the general sales manager over there. And he's ready to make deals right now today. Really, each and every day he's ready to make deals. He's ready to put a car, ready to put you in a car that you can drive home with. And here's the thing, guys, and I say this all the time. We're not in love with any one car. We don't want to sell it. We're going to make you a deal right now on a car or a new or used car in stock right now today. So, guys, you're looking to save some money on a brand new or used car. Go check my good friends out at Hyundai West Dallas, located on Highway 100 and Arthur Avenue. And that's for Dan Richards.
414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Get your voice heard on the Wendy's Big Show. It's Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. Next.
There's not a moral victory attitude. I know that. It's quiet. It's been a perfect example of how not to and how to. And when we get completely to the how to side for 40 minutes, then we got a chance to be a pretty good team. Till then, we'll continue to learn some hard lessons.
There's Badgers head men's basketball coach, Greg Gard. Brother Jeff Gard going to join the college basketball show this weekend, Sunday, noon to two.
Yep, down with Chillis. Ryan Horvat.
9 a.m. Spare Time Bowling Show on Sunday.
Castlelight Spare Time Bowling Show. Yep. If I don't screw it up, we'll have Chris Barnes on this week because I screwed it up last week and we didn't have Chris Barnes on.
Whoops.
So hopefully I don't screw it up this week and we'll get Chris Barnes on this week. So I'm looking forward to that.
Hope so, too. That's going to be a good conversation. We had some conversation about Greg Gard and the recruiting aspect of it, Gary. Thinking about bringing guys into Wisconsin watching the college football playoff, national championship, I don't know if anybody else noticed this, on the jerseys, on the Alabama jerseys, you have the SEC logo,
uh-huh.
And then on certain players, they have the banner underneath it that says SEC graduate.
I didn't notice that.
I think it's one of the coolest things that they have on the jerseys, and all SEC schools have it. It'll be right on the chest where you see like the SEC logo,
uh-huh.
And then the players that have now graduated will have the banner underneath it that says SEC graduate.
Alabama does?
Alabama does.
Will they just have one player with it on?
No, their entire defense is littered with it.
Really? Even the guys that are leaving
dudes that are leaving.
This is typical Big Ten mentality, right?
21
there.
Years old.
There's your Big Ten guy right there, looking down, talking down the SEC. That's exactly this crap that happens.
Were those guys standing on the sideline?
I don't get it, man.
Guys really weren't playing, were they? Those guys ain't playing, cuz.
No, you're right.
Because they got like four or five guys on the defense side
going
of football.
Out, yeah.
It's going to be drafted, and they're all on the class.
They've got more juniors going into the draft this year than they've ever had.
Them guys ain't graduated. You just must saw these guys on the sideline.
Maybe they graduated early.
Well, also, the offensive line was covered with most of them as well. See, right here. I'll show you the little picture here.
Got
on there. An SEC school and then SEC graduate.
Yeah, because.
The graduate part at Wisconsin seems sometimes more important than winning games.
Well, it is.
And at Alabama, the more important thing is the NFL logo.
And they tell you that.
Saban will tell
but
you that.
But as an alumni, what does that mean to you?
That is important. I tell you what, a lot of people don't think about this, but for me, that last game of the year, I'm going to have to get Steve my tickets. I need to get him tickets to one of these games. He can go take the family and that. That last game of the year, last home game, and when they're bringing all the players out and they're introducing them and their parents, and they announce these guys, every single last one of those kids have graduated. Now, of course, they've done in 5 years because Wisconsin redshirt damn near every class that they get. So you got 5 years of graduating.
Especially the offensive line.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to ask yourself what matters most to you. And I think that is what matters most to me. Because if I had a kid, because I know the NFL is not promised to everybody. So if I had a kid who was lucky enough to play Division I football and really on that level, to get your degree out of that is absolutely something to achieve. And so I think it's awesome when you can go and see those guys. That last game is absolutely incredible.
And it's tough, Sparky, from a fan perspective because we don't go to the graduation ceremony. We just watch the football games.
Right? That's true. Good statement.
I hate to
that's
say
true.
It.
No, that's true,
like,
though.
And I hope that all these kids succeed.
Joe Blow fan, yeah.
Yep.
You're right.
That frankly, I don't know what the kid's major is. All I know is that he plays offensive tackle for the Badgers.
And he just jumped off
sides.
Yep.
And he missed a block when he pulled. Dude was wide open, sealed, right. And Jonathan Taylor fumbled the ball.
Yeah, you're right.
It doesn't matter to me one way or the other as a fan what is happening with these kids on this football team. Doesn't matter. I want to win a national championship. As a fan, that's all I care about. That's it. I don't really care. And I've said this before, and it's cold-hearted. And I don't care.
Of all the things that I thought you softened on since you got kids.
Yeah.
Kids. I thought that would be one of the things that you would have softened on, would come around and see that what education really, truly means.
They're not my kids.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Sure it does. They're not my kids. I don't care.
Matter.
I want to win as a fan.
No, because
if it's your kid, that's different.
No,
right?
No.
It's my kid. Yeah, you better graduate or you're
because
dead. That's different.
Because as a parent, damn near daily, if you're like me, I don't know about you, Steve, but damn near daily, you're bombarded with homework with kids. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? Did you do that? What'd you get on this? What'd you get on that?
Yeah.
Did you turn it in? Did you not turn it in? Why didn't you turn it in? This morning, Steve, I got up a half hour early this morning, Steve, took Brock over to the high school at 6:15 to take a test because he screwed up on the first one.
Oh, yeah. Thank God we don't
school
do that
start
early
till 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, he has to be at school at 7.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher goes, well, I'll let him do a makeup test, but he can't get an A. Anything underneath that, give him the grade.
That one again.
Yeah, can't give him an A now, but we'll let him do a retest.
Before.
Steve, 6:15.
Nice
so that means 6:15. That means I think we got up this morning. So we can get about 5:30. Got about 5:30, got a little cereal. Boom, boom, out the door. So you're constantly doing this. That's why I thought one thing, because you're doing it probably daily if you're like me, about homework and all that crap, that you would be softer on that because you're actually living it.
Not my damn kids. I don't care. I'm just telling you how it is. My kids,
you know what?
You're damn
you
right. From your perspective.
I care about your kids, just so you know.
Because you know me.
Right.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Wow.
And I care about your kids because I know you. And there's one kid that's up at Madison right now who I've known since he was a little tyke.
Yeah.
And is on the football team. So, okay, so I care about what happens to that
dude. One kid.
The rest of them, man, I don't care.
Yeah.
Who cares? Win a damn national championship.
Yeah.
You want a major in communications? Great. You want a party in school and don't graduate? That's on you for the rest of your life. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I have Brooklyn in sheets. Next.
I'm sorry. I don't know where to go from that. That was one
Just
of the best.
Sports flash.
That was one of the best mic drop performances of all time,
right,
man. At
here.
All time. Mike Clemens joins us next. Our embedded green and gold reporter, Mike Clemens, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline with the Wendy's Big Show. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Mike, appreciate the time, man.
Hey guys.
Hey Mike.
Nothing really going on, huh? There's no news in Packerland to really talk about outside of, I don't know, the whole coaching staff being different.
Well, you got to get yourself an offensive line coach.
Oh yeah.
Got to get yourself a wide receivers coach. Got to get a special teams coordinator.
Oh yeah.
They have sucked through most of the Mike McCarthy.
Whoa, Mike.
Darren Rizzi was a college coach at Rhode Island and one other place, a head coach. And the late Tony Sperano brought him in 2010, and he got really good at NFL special teams. As a matter of fact, when Tony moved on and Joe Philbin was head coach and then Adam Gase, they kept this guy on. He's 48 years old. Now that Gase is out of the Dolphins, apparently Darren Rizzi is one of the first guys, one of the first teams to get a hold of him is Matt LaFleur and the Packers. So they were supposed to meet today, and that would actually be a nice get, because what else is left out there for special teams is kind of cloudy. So they're talking to him. They talked to Carl Durrell, a wide receivers coach out of the Jets over the weekend. He worked for Jeremy Bates. Jeremy's dad, Jim, was a defensive coordinator for 1 year with the Packers. Was that back in 2005? We thought he might be actually replacing Mike Sherman as a head coach, and then he went on to other places. He'd been an interim head coach of the Dolphins. Great guy. Great football family there. Patrick Graham has been Mike Pettine's inside linebacker coach, and he's going down to the Dolphins now, probably with Brian Flores as soon as he's free from the Patriots. So Mike Patton's got to hire not only somebody to replace Joe Witt in the secondary, but an inside linebacker coach as well.
Have you – we feel like there's a little angst amongst Packer fans with the hirings. How do you feel that it's gone, the hiring? Is it a little slow for you, or you thought it'd be done by now? What's your take?
Well, people are asking me, what do I think about Matt LaFleur? What do I think about Nathaniel Hackett, the new offensive coordinator? And I'll say, I'll get back to you September 1st. I mean
– Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's what's going around the league. And I think you guys were even touching on this earlier in the show about Sean McVay. I mean, when he leaves the Redskins, quarterback coach, I mean, you know, Jay Gruden was calling the shots. But the difference is, and Matt LaFleur, there's a great article. I should probably put this up on the Fan Facebook page. Matt LaFleur was interviewed earlier in the year in Nashville about what was it like, you know, you and Sean McVay learning from Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, you know, the Denver Bronco formulas of zone blocking scheme and Alex Grimm and all that stuff from 20 years ago. And it's the personality of Sean McVay. He is so smart. He is so quick. He's got his own terminology. And when he says it, you understand it immediately. And when I went to Combine last year, you know, the Rams appeared to be a team on the rise because Jared Goff looked better after Jeff Fisher was gone. And they were starting to get some rhythm to their offense last year in December. But when you're in the room with Sean McVay, it's like Elvis has entered the room. I mean, he's not, you know, like Rex Ryan show off. It's just his energy. And when I went out to the Rams facility before the Packers played up in the Coliseum, and I went to that practice, and then coach comes in and talks, and I asked him about some of the particular things that Aaron Rodgers does. His breakdown is just, you know, it's when he leaves the room, you ask the other guys in L.A., is it like this every day? Oh, yeah. He's just got such a fast processor. He is so smart, so quick, and yet it's all understandable, and it's right to the point, and he's got all the bases covered. And you saw him, pretty good game management the other night in that game against the Coliseum, finding the momentum, coming up with a game plan, and then those big horses he's got on the offensive line just running over the Cowboys' defensive line.
I mean, Tom is clicking away here. You got the combine coming up here next month. Mm-hmm. You got free agency coming up. Then you've got the draft. There's a lot going on here as they're still trying to put together their staff. And then once they get the staff put together, they got a lot of film to watch. A lot of these guys, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Senior Bowl in 2 weeks too, and that might be the answer to a lot of the fans and listeners that say, why can't we hire somebody from one of the good teams? You got four really good, you know, those number one through four seeds that are going to be playing this weekend, headed to the conference championships. Why not wait till some of those guys are free? And you just answered your question. You know, it's like, look, we think we've got a qualified group of younger guys. So I have not been able to predict who some of these people are going to fill these roles. But what I did say, just my sense, just my gut, just the feeling of being around the team this past fall. And the thing they kept on talking about, everybody's, Aaron Rodgers talks about this. This generation is different. These 22-year-olds coming in are part of the iPhone generation, and they just communicate differently. And if you're not hip on how to connect with those people, I mean, Aaron Rodgers says, I have to go on Instagram and Snapchat to keep up with my teammates. Otherwise, I'm out of the loop. I'm an old man out of the loop at 35 years old. Imagine what it's like when you're a 57-year-old head coach trying to relate to that. So my gut from everything that I got and just talking to, you know, some of the veteran players off to the side is that's what they're looking for, these younger guys that, first of all, will put in the hours, will grind, will be creative, will have misdirection and three different fakes before the quarterback, you know, sets and throws and, you know, find his launching platform to make a 35-yard pass, which, you know, Ken McCarthy and Philbin just weren't going to do. Philbin was asked by Tom Silverstein a couple of times during his four-week run as interim head coach, have some fun, man. You know, what's to lose? A little razzle-dazzle, at least at practice, maybe in some of the games. And Philbin's reply is, we're the Green Bay Packers. We're going to run. We're going to tackle. We're going to focus on fundamentals. That's how we play. You know, he was like talking about Lombardi and the power sweep, and he was not going to have a wildcat or anything like that. And I remember Alex Van Pelt, quarterback coach, was asked, hey, man, the Wildcat, I mean, some people are actually making some pretty good plays with that. look what Sean Payton's doing, like a Taysom Hill. And the Packers' philosophy was, why would you take your best player off the field? Why would you take Aaron Rodgers out from underneath center and have Randall Cobb back there playing? Well, that's why you never saw Randall Cobb, who played some quarterback in college, ever get to throw a pass. It's because that was the McCarthy way. It's like, yeah, we want the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hand 75 times a game.
Now you're hitting the nerve, Mike.
Gary has been flustered about Taysom Hill and wanting to just scratch and itching to get at some of these people talking about Taysom Hill, that he was just a big loss for the Green Bay Packers.
Huge loss. The biggest loss.
Jared Cook, damn it. So was Jared Cook. I cannot understand for the life of me. That's been a tape that goes round and round in my head, because it was 2 years ago today. Jared Cook makes that catch, sets up Mason Crosby, winning field goal. Packers advance to play the Falcons in the NFC Championship.
Well, just so you know, Mike, I don't think Taysom Hill was a huge loss.
What?
I don't think Taysom Hill was a huge loss.
Just so you don't think so?
No.
Well, the way Sean Payton is using him, why not? He was a football player, and he was the biggest spark in four preseason games that camp 2 years ago.
Mike, I think his stats from last year, Mike, may have been a total of 190 yards.
Well, you might get to see him in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, but he ain't the reason why they're in the Super Bowl.
No, but, you know, he's all over the field in a variety of roles between special teams.
What's wrong, Steve?
And offense. And, it's not a bad player to get that use of, as opposed to standing there with a clipboard waiting and waiting.
Where you going to play him at, Mike, if he's the Packers? Where you play him at?
The same way that Sean Payton's using him.
I'm not taking Aaron Rodgers out of the game for him.
Neither is Clemens. Right, Clemens? You're not taking Drew Brees off the field for him, are you?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Brees can line up at wide receiver.
No. Rodgers ain't lining up at receiver.
Right.
Not doing that.
I just – what Sean Payton is doing is what Mike McCarthy should
be. Matter of fact, hey, you be Aaron Rodgers, okay? I'm going to be Mike McCarthy, okay? Let's play this out. You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Rod, listen, I got some plays here that I want to get Taysom Hill involved. Now, we're going to put you at receiver, and I got this package, and I'm going to put some plays in where he can throw, get a couple touchdowns to Devontae Adams. So just so you know, when that play comes in.
Mike, your game plan is stale.
Oh, thank you very much.
Talking with Mike Clemens, our embedded Green and Gold football reporter on the Big Show.
That's exactly how that goes out. Exactly. You think Rodgers give him a side eye with that? What did he do? What do you think he gets?
What you talking about, Willis?
Mike, one thing that I saw this weekend in that Saints-Rams game, or in that Saints-Eagles game, sorry, after the game, one of these younger coaches from the Andy Reid tree, not the Sean McVay cycle, was Doug Peterson. It kind of went viral when he was standing out meeting the rest of the players out of the locker room and greeting them in a tough spot where he was holding back as much emotion as that. You're in the locker room as much as anybody. What is the toughest moment that you've seen emotionally wise in one of those locker rooms after a loss like that?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Well, losing to the Giants in 2007, that was pretty brutal. And Brett throwing that ball that got picked off, I mean, that was such a gut punch. And it was all pointed at Brett, too. You know, like, how did you throw that game away? That group was pretty speechless to let the Giants come in there and snatch that from them on their turf in the tundra. I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, is to play playoff football at Lambeau Field in, you know, 3-degree temperatures. That was pretty tough to explain. Doug Peterson, by the way, you know, this is why he was close friends with Brett, too. He's a great guy. And you know, I can't believe the access I get at Super Bowl. You know, I got PR people from the teams dogging me all the time. Well, who are you going to talk to? Or how long is this going to take? You know, and even these teams I've visited, like the Rams and, you know, going out to Patriots and that kind of thing. At the Super Bowl, it's like win or lose. You can talk to anybody you want to. And there's Doug Peterson. He just won the Super Bowl. He just addressed his team. I'm standing there. I get to watch these guys with the champagne and everything. And I go, hey, Doug, it's Mike. I covered you in Green Bay. Like, oh, yeah. Got time. And I get a one-on-one with a head coach right after he wins the Super Bowl. That's, you know, that's what was just an amazing part. And over the weekend, by the way, one of the performances I was most impressed by was Sean Payton coming out with the, you know, like run and shoot against the Eagles. Now they picked him off, and Nick Foles ends up getting two touchdowns, and all of a sudden they're up 14-0. And then Sean changes, and he goes with fake punt on fourth down, you know, a couple times. And then he goes to his misdirection game with the Taysom Hill packages and all that stuff for like two quarters. And then what does he do when he gets to the fourth quarter? Runs the damn football. 11.5 minutes. 18 plays. Drew Brees, he said he figured it out after the game. That drive actually was 117 yards when you count the penalties.
I know, crazy.
Mm. Rammed it down their throat. Awesome. And took the ball away from the Eagles. And then, of course, Alshon Jeffrey, who we learned later, also had a fractured rib. Ball goes through his hands. Marshawn Lattimore gets his second pick. You know, so a little break there with defense. But that was a hell of a change. There's three different game plans that Peyton used in the middle of that game to shift and change and get the momentum back and win that game. That's pretty damn good coaching.
Mike, appreciate it as always, man. We'll talk soon, buddy, all right?
Yes, boys.
There's Mike Clemens on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. We'll be right back to wrap things up. But first, these messages from Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up hot and fresh from Wendy's.
Wendy's, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And the Bucks play tonight against D-Wade and the Miami Heat. Wade getting a little emotional talking about the Bradley Center being imploded, considering that's where he played all his basketball with Marquette.
I got a story about that, too, if you want, after
earlier
the break.
Today. Okay, sure. Absolutely. A little bit earlier today in pregame, before the Bucks take on the Heat tonight. At the arena, if they win tonight against the Heat, then you win tomorrow at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. So you simply would go to Wendy's either tonight after the game or tomorrow for lunch or whatever the case may be, or dinner, and say, hey, man, Bucks won tonight or last night, so I'd like to get a medium drink and then my free junior bacon cheeseburger or free small chili. And you're good to go. You don't have to have gone to the game. You don't need a game taken out of that. Home or away games don't matter. Anytime the Bucks play in the regular season, this works at Wendy's. Take advantage of it now.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, wrapping things up. Tuesday, Kim and Lavoie, Judgment Day. Gary Ellerson,
all right,
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
D-Wade's
myself. So I'm a 15-year-old young kid, ball boy for the Milwaukee Bucks, as D-Wade, fresh off of a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. Taking on, I believe it was the Boston Celtics at the time.
Sure. Ray, got, Kevin.
All I wanted to do was get my Dwayne Wade Marquette jersey signed. It was the number one thing that I had on my list. Huge Marquette fan my entire life. Get the jersey signed. And as I'm walking up to D. Wade, the Bucks beat the Heat by one that night. A game in the middle of December. D. Wade looks at me and goes, hey, man, how cool would it have been if I would have hit that buzzer beater and jumped up on the scores table and pointed up at my jersey in the rafters? I was like, dude, cool. That would have been the coolest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I think everybody would have dug it. Even if they would have lost, everybody would have been juiced up.
Yep.
That guy was a hell of a player for this team for a long time.
Yeah, and everybody loved that dude when he was at Marquette, I'll tell you that much. He was a beloved dude, and when he played, you knew he was special. I don't think, there might have been a couple of people that knew how special he was, but you knew he was a different cat than everybody else.
Yeah,
sure.
He could heat up the game like nobody's business. You're going to see him two more times in Milwaukee before he hangs it up officially at the end of the year tonight at Fiserv Forum. Bucks and Heat, Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show after the game. You got the DJ Wilson Fan Club in here with you.
Yeah, Mitch and the chairman of the fan club is in here as well, Evan. And we'll talk about that Athletic article by Frank Isola talking about Mark Lazary. Very, very interesting stuff.
And Gary, Stevie, myself, maybe Leroy Butler. Be back tomorrow at 2.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.